in a nutshell, this story is about Sam Fox, who's a 24-year-old athlete who launches a highly publicized campaign to break the speed record on the Pacific Crest Trail and raise $250,000 for Parkinson's in honor of his mother, who is suffering with Parkinson's. And for, I'm sure most of your audience is familiar with the speed record on the PCT. I mean, essentially, it boils down to about, you know, 40 plus miles a day for 60 days in a row.
Welcome back to the Byland Podcast. My name is Emery. Thank you so much for joining me, and welcome to Better Backpacking. That is what this podcast is all about. This is episode 93, and my guest today is Marion Moran, and she is a documentary filmmaker, and she's been working on this film called Elevation Change for about 8 years, and it's about the story of Sam Fox attempting the fastest known time, or FKT, of the Pacific Crest Trail. So I had the opportunity to preview the film before it was released, and it has been released in October of 2019. So after you listen to this, you can, if obviously it's going to be after October or in the middle of October, you can go and follow the links in the profile and watch the documentary or check out the trailer and then find a way to watch it. Links obviously in the description. But it's a really cool documentary, and it kind of just shows what someone goes through in one of these attempts. It's 2,650 miles of running a lot. So yeah, so that's what this podcast is about. We talked to Marion about her process, how she got involved in the film, and that kind of a thing. So yeah, stick around. It's a really fun episode. If you want to help the podcast out, leave me a review on iTunes, share it with a friend, that kind of a thing, and leave me some feedback. I'd love to hear if you guys want to hear something specifically or want to have topics covered. Shoot me an email, emery@byland.co. That's the best way to do it. And yeah, just, I'm open to ideas. Lastly, if you don't already know about the Facebook group, there's a Byland Podcast Facebook group. It's just a bunch of us in there enjoying it and, talking about past, present, and future episodes, as well as encouraging each other to get outside. So it's really fun in there. I'd love to have you. But in the meantime, episode 93 with Marion Moran, awesome episode covering Elevation Change, the documentary of Sam Fox attempting the FKT of the Pacific Crest Trail. Marion, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am super excited to talk to you about this documentary that you have coming out. But before we get into it, do you want to just kind of introduce yourself and who you are, what you do?
Sure. My name's Marion Moran. I'm a documentary filmmaker based in New York. And my film's called Elevation Change. And it's coming out on iTunes and Amazon and I think Vimeo on demand on October 1st. And it's been an 8-year process. So it's a big, big deal for me.
An 8-year process? I guess I didn't realize how long this, I guess there's like pre-work and then the shooting and then the editing and stuff like that.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
The shooting took, or at least the portion that we filmed on the trail, took 2 months. Mm-hmm. And I would say in total, all the shooting took about a year, but it was really the editing process and continuing to raise money to pay for editing that took many, many years after that.
I have a fascination with filmmaking nowadays. And I think it's like on the documentary side, just because I think I think it's more attainable. No, filmmaking, that's a big word, right? But, the ability to create a visual story is way more accessible today than it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I think because of those reasons, I bring photographers and videographers on more often than what I probably, you know, if the show was on like, you know, however many years ago. It's just so much more attainable and accessible. And it's, I think for me, I'm just trying to get a perspective of like, when you say 8 years, like you've been working on a project for 8 years, to me, that kind of like, this is like every, this is normal to you. Yeah.
Yes.
it takes the pressure off of me though.
Yeah. No, when I was first starting out, somebody told me that, you know, their project took them 6 years, so not to worry. And I sort of like laughed to myself, like, yeah, that'll never be me. But indeed it was. Documentary filmmaking, it can be a long process, and this is my first film.
Is that pretty normal for a documentary? Like, because from what I understand, like documentaries, like you kind of allow the story to progress and change as it goes, yeah?
Yeah, I think you do. And it depends on, I guess, what kind of film you're making. Mm-hmm. You know, as I said earlier, you know, we weren't shooting continuously over 8 years. So that's sort of a difference, maybe from other projects where the story is evolving over several years. Mm-hmm. Really, the longest process was the edit. And that was due to a lot of reasons. Me being basically a working filmmaker, mm-hmm. trying to raise money to keep paying my editor, and also kind of as I was evolving and growing up, kind of figuring out the best way to tell the story. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel very differently about the experience now than I did when I was 24 and, you know, fresh off mm-hmm. of this crazy adventure that we were all on.
Huh. Do you want to back up a little bit and tell me how 8 years ago you got into this?
Yeah.
I guess, and then maybe you can kind of like introduce the storyline or the concept.
Sure.
Because I'm curious, like how this thing even came about.
Sure. In a nutshell, this story is about Sam Fox, who's a 24-year-old athlete who launches a highly publicized campaign to break the speed record on the Pacific Crest Trail and raise $250,000 for Parkinson's mm-hmm. In honor of his mother who is suffering with Parkinson's. And for, I'm sure most of your audience is familiar with the speed record on the PCT. Mm-hmm. I mean, essentially it boils down to about, you know, 40 plus miles a day for 60 days in a row, or at least mm-hmm. at that time, that's what it boiled down to. And the story is really about Sam's emotional journey when he realizes that he's not going to be able to break the record, and how he kind of wrestles with that disappointment and finds the strength to keep going.
So how did you get introduced to him in this storyline?
Yeah. So basically, he and I are both from Rhode Island.
Oh.
And after I graduated from college, I moved to Los Angeles, and I was working there as a production assistant. And he had moved, I think, to Berkeley. And we had a mutual friend who was also working as a production assistant. And she asked me to help her create a promo for Sam. Once he started this project. I think it was in January 2011, we drove out to the Grand Canyon and we shot a bunch of footage of Sam doing his training out there for this project that he was doing to raise $250,000 for Parkinson's and beat the speed record. And when we were done with it, we released it, and it was really successful. He raised, I think, probably about $50,000 within the first few weeks. It got a lot of attention in media and on national news. And so after that, he asked me if I'd be interested in doing a documentary about the whole project and following him as he went along. And I didn't really have a ton of experience, needless to say. I mean, I had kind of broken in working in the documentary film world as an intern when I was in college. But I just thought, you know, okay, this is my shot. Like, I want to be a filmmaker, and this seems like a great story, and I think I can do it. So let's go for it.
Were you familiar with the PCT at that time?
You know, I actually was, because one of my best friends, my cousin Elise, had hiked the PCT after she graduated from high school. And she told me about her experiences on it. And her trail name was Heidi. And she just had the best time. And I thought it was the most unbelievably brave thing for her to have done, because she started by herself. And of course, ended up making these incredible friends. But yeah, I was a little bit familiar with it then.
So how many, I guess the timeline is, like, you get the 8-year timeline, how many years were you leading up to this? And between the time that you, like, okay, let's do this thing, and the time that he ran it?
Sure. Not that much time.
Okay.
So we shot the promo in January 2011, and Sam was planning to start his run in August of 2011.
Okay.
So I think probably by about March was when we decided that we wanted to, you know, try and make a film out of this. And that's when I kind of did all the sort of logistical organizing, getting my crew involved, starting to raise money, and setting up the production. So it really became my, like, full-time job probably in about the spring of 2011.
Okay. When you do that, when you go out into the field and you're like, okay, cool, this guy's about to run 3 states.
Like, yep.
2,600 miles. That's the idea. This isn't taking place in one scene or, like, even a couple scenes. It's literally taking place over thousands of miles. Did you, like, how do you even begin to approach that? Like, your planning process, to me, I'd have, like, a bunch of spaghetti on the walls. I'd be like, well, so it's impossible to watch him every single mile. So you have to kind of figure that out. What was, like, step one on, like, the planning process, and how did you even approach it?
Yeah. I mean, the best answer I can give you is just that I was naive, like, young and stupid, mm-hmm. and just full of confidence. But, you know, basically, of course, the way the trail breaks down is there's, like, road crossings in many, many different places. So it is possible, essentially, to, you know, basically what we ended up doing was we would drive down to a place where the trail intersected a road, and we might park our vehicle there and then hike in 4, 5, 6, 7 miles and wait for Sam there. Mm-hmm. Wait for him to come by. We'd get that shot. Sometimes he would want to sit and chat for a minute. Sometimes he wanted to just keep going. And we'd hike out and then drive down to the next place where we'd usually meet up with his support crew, mm-hmm. and maybe shoot some stuff with them and wait for him to kind of come in for his support point and do a little bit of stuff there, and then repeat that cycle. Mm-hmm. And of course, there were places like the Glacier Peaks Wilderness, that kind of, what is it, like 115 miles, 130 miles? Mm-hmm. There's a big stretch in northern Washington where it was just impossible for us to be able to get in there. Same thing with the Sierras, which we actually didn't end up doing any shooting on the John Muir Trail, unfortunately. But for the places that we couldn't get to, it was really key that Sam had his own personal camera with mm-hmm. him, so he could record these video diaries that really fill in, you know, not just, you know, his own kind of thoughts and feelings about the day, but also getting this incredible footage of his surroundings.
As far as the creative process goes, I know, does the creative process for a documentary kind of, where's the majority of the creative process come in? Does it come in like in the edit and the storytelling? Because the, like, I would imagine that you don't know how this, like, you know the idea of the story, but you really don't know how the story is going to play out until it's, you're done filming. And even then you're probably like, okay, I need some more content. I need to go talk to these different people. Where's the creativity begin to really snowball?
You know, I'm hardly an expert, but I do feel like I've learned a lot over the past few years. And I think it's probably, you know, most common for the creativity to really take hold in the edit room. Just because, you know, the nature of documentary, everything more or less is unplanned. And especially in our case, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen from day to day. We didn't know if, you know, Sam was going to be able to keep going. We didn't know if he was going to be injured. We didn't know if he was going to be feeling good or feeling frustrated. So we kind of had to just be prepared to kind of let life, you know, expose what was going to happen. So, which I guess is the sort of verite style of documentary, unlike, you know, maybe doing some kind of historical biography. So anyhow, I mean, the challenge, and the creative process was really figuring out, what is, Sam's kind of narrative arc. I guess that was the big thing, and kind of figuring out what were the important things to emphasize, and the, making it truthful and honest, but also fair to his experience.
Yeah, because, well, we, before we started recording, you know, we were talking about, like, this is Sam's experience, and you're there, and you're there to not experience his experience, but, like, tell his experience to other people and try to get that right. And I feel like that would be so incredibly challenging, because you're seeing it from, like, it's almost like a fishbowl. Like, you're looking on the outside, but you're getting these, like, I don't know, with that analogy, like, the shark comes to the cage and then it goes back away. And you're like, well, what's a shark doing when it's not here? And you're just in the cage floating around, right? Like, if that makes any sense. Because this, you know, this whole concept, like road crossings, you're not there when he during that 100-mile stretch or whatever it might be. Well, he's covering a load of miles. So he had to have been, at any given time, he's alone for a long period of time in his own brain, in his own pain. And then you see him come out of that, and there's good days and there's bad days. And I would imagine when you're doing 40 miles a day or trying to reach this goal, like, there's probably a lot of bad days.
Yeah, so, I would think so too.
So is that, like, daunting to kind of, like, when you start seeing this thing unfold, were you kind of like, oh, whoa?
Yeah, absolutely. well, just, I think because, you know, I mentioned earlier, my cousin who had hiked the PCT, she really had this kind of transformative experience doing it, and really kind of loved and appreciated every moment. And I think, you know, you do encounter a lot of people who have that same experience, where they're really just appreciating being in nature, having that time sort of away from the hustle and bustle of daily life. And Scott Williamson, who's also featured in the film, really is, I think, the sort of perfect example of that kind of attitude towards the trail. But I think it's really important to point out too that, you know, Scott, at that point, Scott had done it 14, 15 times. So he really knew what he was doing, and had kind of, you know, for lack of a better word, like, practiced. And Sam, you know, I think is an outdoorsman and loves hiking, but really, I mean, and there's a moment early on in the film that captures this perfectly. He's like, yeah, I really don't care about nature right now. It's really pissing me off. And you know, was frustrated and frankly, like hard to deal with for a lot of his time on the trail. But I think it comes down to maybe the level of experience, but also really just the physical and mental challenge of putting yourself on that clock mm-hmm. of trying to break the record, I think, which is very different than when you're there taking several months to do it, taking your time and really kind of savoring it. They're two very different experiences.
Hmm. I wanted to ask you about Scott Williamson, right?
Yes.
Did you, when in the time frame were you able to speak to him? Was that, because documentaries, you can never really tell when the things are, you know, it's all very well yeah. done. But I'm always like, okay, when did they talk to him? Was it before, during, after?
Yep.
Not during, but probably after?
Yeah. So I didn't know anything about Scott until we had already started shooting. And there's another moment in the film where Sam realizes that it's on the very first day before he's even started, where he finds the trail register at the northern terminus of the trail, you know, right at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And he sees Scott's name in there and he realizes, oh my God, Scott Williamson, like the legend, is out on the trail 17 days ahead of me and he's going for the record. And mm-hmm. Sam is really competitive. So this kind of like sparked him to really want to up his game. And Scott became, I guess, this sort of like almost looming presence mm-hmm. Over our whole project because he was out there. I had no idea who he was, but it sort of became real for me about halfway through when his wife, Michelle, came out to visit Sam and visit the crew when we were at Donner Pass. So they live in Truckee, California.
Oh, that's right around the corner.
Yeah. And so she came out to meet Sam. She'd been following what he was doing on Facebook and was really supportive. She brought the guys a pie, which they just thought was the sweetest thing. And I introduced myself and we kind of kept in touch. And when Sam's PCT run was over, I reached out to her to ask if I could do an interview with her and Scott. And so we shot that probably about a month after Sam's trail run was over. Mm.
So what I was watching, so you guys were kind enough to send me one of the versions of the film. And I remember thinking when you guys were talking to Scott, like, this dude's on a whole nother level.
Yeah. Yes. Like, another planet.
He really is. And it's so, but then, and so you cut to like, here's Scott's like presence. And I don't know if it, I would like to think that it probably was how it felt, but like, he's just a very peaceful individual and he's out there. Like he, like you said, he's done it so many times that it means something different. He's weathered, he's seasoned, it's familiar to him.
Yeah.
And then you cut to Sam's story and he's like battered. And he's like,
yeah,
frustrated, and the trail is taking on, you know, a character of its own, and then mm-hmm. you just compare the two, and you're like, oh, like these two people are connected,
yeah,
by yeah. this trail, but they're in different places, and you want to compare, but you almost can't because you're like, I don't know, like did you find yourself like in that weird space of like looking at one and looking at the other and being like, this is weird.
Oh, absolutely. Excuse me. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Sorry. Well, so I'm curious, like when you got done talking to Scott or as you were getting to know him and his story, did that play like when you came away from that talking to someone that had done it so many times and covered so many miles on the same trail? Mm-hmm. Did you look at things any differently?
Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, Scott sort of affirmed what I had originally believed about the trail, which is just that it's this really incredible
yeah.
gift and it's there to be appreciated. And in all honesty, something that was frustrating about the shoot when Sam was on trail was that I felt like he wasn't appreciating it. And so it took me a long time to understand why, you know, and I feel like I really get that now. But at the time, Scott kind of reminded me why it is so special and why even on, you know, the hard days or when you're feeling frustrated that it's still just such a valuable experience. Mm-hmm. And I'm, of course, saying this as somebody who hasn't hiked the PCT. So I don't know. But having hiked bits and pieces of it, for me, I do think it really is an incredibly valuable asset to the country and the world.
After he was done and like the dust had settled, did you ever get an impression from Sam on like that he would, that he did, not that you could ever go back, but like that he, how do you even say it? Like you're talking about appreciating the trail, but at the same time, like people that do really big miles, they're appreciating it in a different way. And maybe in Sam's case, like it's a post appreciation type of thing. Like, man, that happened really fast. That was super intense. And here you have like Scott, who's almost practiced the appreciation. Did you ever notice any like change in Sam, like after like reflecting on the experience of like the connection that he had? And like, did you see anything change in him?
Yeah, there were a few moments, I think, where he, the best example I can think of is when the snowstorm hit. I think it was October 2nd, and Sam was right about to enter the High Sierras. And because of the snowstorm and the fact that it would be, you know, the trail would basically be blocked off to anybody else, the team decided not to go forward. And so they made this announcement that they were officially ending the record attempt. And I think at that point, you know, Sam had already, he'd gotten really behind on his pace, but he never really gave up on this idea that maybe he could still get it somehow. Once that pressure was off to go for the record, I think his attitude really did change a lot, and he was able to kind of enjoy what he was doing more. Particularly, there was this part's it's not really part of the film, but just a little backstory. He took a couple of days off, and he climbed to the top of Mount Whitney as part of a sort of bonus fundraising effort. And when he got back, he was really a different person. I mean, I felt like he had really enjoyed that experience and just kind of getting away from the circus of the documentary crew and all the followers and the pressures of being in the spotlight. But besides that, I mean, really, it was a very, very high pressure situation. And so there wasn't a lot of time for reflection, let's say.
Was the mental preparation, there's the film crew's preparation, but then there's like his preparation mentally. Do you recall anything like, was he, I mean, the guy's he's like a big athlete. Like he can do this. His body can handle this kind of stuff. So I would imagine that it's kind of built into his DNA that he knows how to handle the mental strains of it all. But then there's always like the, when it actually happens. Did he know what he was getting himself into in terms of like the grand scale of it?
I don't know.
Was that spoken about in the team, or was it kind of just like, hey, let's give this thing a shot?
I think he had a pretty good idea. I mean, he spent a lot of time backpacking mm-hmm. all over okay. the West Coast.
Yeah.
So I think he had a pretty good idea and he'd done his research. But I think what he would say is that there's really not that much that you can do to prepare mm-hmm. Beyond kind of physical conditioning and that kind of thing. You just kind of have to take it as it comes.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping to kind of get your perspective on, like, this is your, like, because this is kind of like your story as well. Like, you guys, mm-hmm. Even though you're not the runner or you're not doing that, like, you're in this just as much as he is. How did this film, how did this whole thing, like, affect you? like long term. I mean, I don't know if that's a weird question to ask, but I feel like if you're a creative, which mm-hmm. you wouldn't be doing this kind of stuff.
Yes. And not an athlete, by the way. I'm not an athlete.
So like as a creative, you're putting all of your like thought energy into this kind of thing. You're watching it play out. You're seeing the film. You're seeing it be edited. You're seeing the story. You're trying to figure out what the narrative is. You're trying to tie things together, trying to be respectful of all people involved mm-hmm. and to do it right. How did that, like, looking back and even today, like, how is this? Can you just kind of talk to that? I'm curious where your brain is, like,
sure.
how that process was.
It was really hard. It was yeah. really, really hard. You know, I think I wanted to make a film and that was kind of like my lighthouse, you know, the yeah. thing that kind of kept me going. The other thing that really kept me going, was, we raised a lot of money, to fund this thing on Kickstarter and received some grants as well. And so, you know, there were a lot of times where I just felt like taking all my hard drives and, you know, catapulting them into the East River. But I always knew that there were these people out there who had faith in me, to see this project through. So it was, you know, there were a lot of different, things that pushed me to keep going with it. And, you know, I'd say, so I started the project when I was 23, I'm now 32. You know, it was, I would say that the project got better and better kind of as I grew up and learned from my experiences and kind of had time to, reflect on the experience itself and think about, kind of get myself out of my own head and try and think about what Sam had been going through as well. And then kind of widening the focus out even from that and just kind of being able to look at the big picture, really helped. And also therapy helps. I'll just say that, but,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. This kind of thing is like, it's an emotional toll. It's also like,
it is.
That's a yeah. long time to be committed to something.
Yeah, it is. It was not planned. It was not planned. it really wasn't. But it just, I knew that, I knew I had to finish it and I knew that, not just that I had to finish it, but that I wanted it to be good and be something that I was happy with. And, so it was really incremental and I worked on lots of other different projects, over the years and I kind of put it on a shelf for a little bit and then come back to it, when I could. And, mm-hmm. you know, I guess maybe that's one difference, you know, for our generation's, method of approaching filmmaking now is that you do sort of have the opportunity to go back into a project and keep working on it. Mm-hmm. You know, when it's digital, but yeah, it's sort of like as you get older, your perspective changes and then suddenly things kind of click into place. I don't know if that makes any sense, but
yeah, I mean, it would make sense because the longer you, I mean, clearly, you're, I don't know, maybe like if you were to redo it in like 100 years, if you could, it'd probably be a lot, you'd tell it differently.
Just yes.
Because the time, the process has changed and you've grown and everyone's grown and you're seeing things differently. And I think that's what's really fascinating about this is that like we're in this really weird mix of you want to tell a story. Stories take time to kind of digest and figure out, but yet you want it out now and you have the, have the ability to do it like ASAP. Like if you had all the money in the world, you could pump that thing out really fast.
Yeah.
So you're caught between that creative like process. And it sounds like, I mean, everything happens for a reason, I think. And maybe 8 years is what it needed to be able to get it to the point where you're good with it.
I think so. Yeah, it was just the combination of factors. And I think, I don't know if I've already said this or not, but I think my whole sort of concept for what the film was going to be was very, very different from what it turned out to be. So that was, I think, one of the biggest challenges for me. Basically because, you know, if you kind of, you know, Google Sam Fox Pacific Crest Trail, you'll see a lot of the kind of press releases and news items that were coming out at the time before he had started the run. And it's not to diminish it, but it's kind of like a very nice, tidy little story about like young son doing something good mm-hmm. for his mother. And it's, you know, kind of everything's happy. It's totally altruistic and successful, yada, yada. And of course, behind the scenes, it was a lot more complicated than that. And, you know, I've mentioned that Sam was frustrated and a lot of that occurred, you know, on camera. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately he wasn't like the sort of cookie cutter hero that you might see, you know, on NBC or NPR, but really what he is real.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's kind of, that was the thing that I had to figure out, and appreciate over time.
Hmm. Yeah, that would be, yeah. I just think people, when they see like real and they're like, oh, okay, cool. It's not like perfect little box that's mm-hmm. handed to you. Like, I think it makes them feel weird sometimes when it's real, you know, you're like, oh, you're telling me like it's not perfect. And you're like, yeah, but like nothing's perfect. And everyone's like, everyone's got their scars and their trials and tribulations. And that's the true story, right? Like we just try and short form it and be like, yeah, it's this, but really it's so much more than that. That's interesting.
Yeah. I think it's interesting too. And I think it's really universal, you know, I think it applies to me too. You know, I mentioned earlier, I had all this confidence starting out making this film. Yeah. It's going to be great. I'm going to handle it. No problem. And, you know, it'll be done in 2 years. And, you know, of course, that's not the way life turns out. And I think Sam maybe had a sort of similar timeline, if shortened, you know, where he had all the best of intentions. But, you know, things don't always go the way you planned. Mm-hmm. And it's makes it especially difficult when you have two cameras in your face. Yeah. And, yeah. And a bunch of people, you know, rooting for you.
Yeah. What are your takeaways from this entire thing? Like, there's a lot that, you know, you watched him do his thing. You've had your journey. What's like some of your big takeaways from like that you now apply to, I guess, even like daily life or new projects?
Yeah. God, there's so many.
You probably show up at random times. You're like, oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You try and think of a few good ones. Like, as I mentioned earlier, you know, I'm not an athlete. I'm kind of a spaz. I do enjoy hiking and being in the outdoors, but Sam really kind of blows me away with what he's able to do physically. It's just, it's not even possible to me. But, I think, both he and Scott kind of talked about this, how physical fitness is important, but mental toughness is really the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And I guess you could apply that beyond the trail just to, you know, almost anything in life. You know, I think this kind of common thread that Sam and I share is kind of that mental mm-hmm. toughness and just being persistent, you know, and keeping going. That's probably my biggest takeaway.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I mean, that aligns very well with the people that I've spoken to that have done like really big journeys and that have taken that leap and like, yeah, it's a physical feat, but really it's a mental feat. And it's interesting that your experience from all of this, even though it wasn't physical, maybe as much as what, you know, someone hiking the PCT or running the PCT might be, it's interesting that it aligns with others that have had completely different experiences, but around the PCT or long distance things. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny the way life turns out.
It's almost like everything comes back to like this, like, mental toughness and like patience and endurance and like, you'll get there. Just keep plugging away. Just keep doing it.
It's really wild. Yeah. And just also the value in doing that, you know, and kind of realizing when you have to just accept that mm-hmm. What's that saying? It's like just knowing that you don't know.
Yeah.
And so giving yourself the time to figure things out and keep going.
It's very peaceful when you can get to that spot. It's very peaceful.
Yeah, I agree. Cool. Yeah.
I wanted to, this is kind of related, but not really. You had mentioned like you obviously are interested in film. You're obviously shot a documentary. Mm-hmm. Why filmmaking though? What was it about filmmaking that, and this probably goes back a long ways, but I'm just curious, like, why filmmaking?
Sure. I guess I've thought about this a lot, and I think probably one of my biggest frustrations in life is feeling like I'm not being clear when I'm talking, or that I can't quite get an idea across mm-hmm. In words. But for me, the beauty of filmmaking is that you can combine words with images and music to express a really complex idea. And there's something like really exciting about that to me, being able to do that. So it's the way that I feel like I can really express myself, and that's how I've always, or what I've always wanted to do.
Hmm. That's interesting. Have you just always been drawn to that medium versus, did the other mediums feel kind of like they had something missing?
Maybe writing for me is something that it's not that it's less to do with writing and more to do with me.
Yeah.
I think I just don't have the talent to express myself in words the way I want to be able to. Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the most satisfying things is like reading a novel or book, and where you're just like, oh my God, this writer is just incredible, and what they're saying in words, it's just so eloquent and creative and powerful. I don't have the ability to be able to do that, but what I do really understand, I think, is imagery and music especially. So for me, filmmaking is that means to take a creative idea or an emotion, and it's like my way to be able to express it.
That's really well put.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe done. I'm getting mic drop. Oh man, yeah. I just think it's so fascinating. Anytime someone, I mean, you get to talk to someone that does a thing, and that's what they do, and that's what they care about, and that's what they're passionate about, and that's what like tugs at their insides, you know, and they're like, it becomes them. I just always think it's really fascinating to hear why and where it comes from, and to see if they can. I'm sure over time, over time things change and the narrative changes, but it's always like you're just chewing on that idea of why you do what you do. So it's really cool. I appreciate you sharing.
Yeah. Well, I guess I also feel like now I feel justified in saying that now that this project it's finished and I like it and I don't want to throw it in the river anymore. Yeah. You know, I do feel like I'm happy with my work, but I mean, I can't even tell you the amount of times where I thought, you know, am I really cut out for doing this, or am I, you know, is filmmaking for me?
Yep.
But something about it just kind of kept tugging me forward. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the good news is that I actually do want to make another film. Mm. So
yeah. So I was going to ask you, so do you have any, maybe to wrap up, do you have anything like, what are you doing now? Like, what's the latest and greatest?
Yeah. Besides kind of putting the word out for Elevation Change and getting everybody really psyched up about that, I am I'm writing a script. And for a narrative feature, actually.
Oh.
And I am in the very, very early stages of a new documentary feature, but I don't want to jinx it. So
awesome. You're still doing it. That's awesome. It's going to be curious to see like the things that you've learned in this process play out in those processes.
Oh God. Yeah. Yep.
That's super cool. Well, do you want to kind of recap when the film's out again, and then how, I guess, the best way people can follow up with the film and then you and or whatever else is going on? The best way to reach out?
Great. The film is called Elevation Change. It'll be released on iTunes, Amazon Prime, and Vimeo On Demand on October 1st.
Sweet.
You can follow us at Elevation Change Doc on Facebook and Twitter, and go to elevationdoc.com to see the trailer. And you can sign up for our mailing list as well there.
Sweet. I will make sure to put those links in the show notes when this goes out, and that should line up really well with the release of everything. So yeah, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you taking the time to kind of go a little behind the scenes on how this stuff plays out, because I feel like, oh man, when I was watching, I was like, what, how does this even happen? Like, one, they're dealing with a guy that's going through a whole lot, and then they're having to deal with moving gear and people and things and all the way through from Canada to Mexico. Cause he went southbound. Right. So leaving late in the year, that's gonna, man, talk about stress, but you made it through, and it's an awesome story. And man, just really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
All right, that is it for episode 93 with Mary Moran. Thank you so much for listening and being a great audience. If you have any feedback for me, you can leave me a review on iTunes or send me an email, emery@byland.co. I'd love to hear from you. Introduce yourself. Let me know where you're from, what you're up to. If you have any questions about the content in this episode, you can scroll down and check out some links and hit up Marian herself via those websites. And yeah, if you're headed out for the weekend or an adventure or whatever you're doing, be safe, make great decisions, and we will see you next time.